Seat. Yes. Wow. It's time to go home. All right. Share today worship in Jesus. You know, Leviticus, my English is like very broken. Please understand me. Leviticus 20:26, God says to us, "You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I set you apart from all other people to be my very own." Yes, God calls us to be his people. When God calls us as his people, God set us apart from others to be holy. When I think kind of this word, being holy, I'm always think about worshiping God. I began to serve church when I was 10 years old, from kids' church piano person to adult service, and from church choirs to church bands. So I served the church in worship ministry for many, many, many years. So when I say about holiness, always I have a kind of it's an image in me is have a worship God. So I'm going to share about worship today. For Christian, worship, our God is the center of Christian lives. Let's find out how the worship started in the Bible. Worship is very important to us. The Bible talks about worship from Genesis, from the story of Cain and Abel. Abel, who brought their offerings to God, to the last book, Revelation, the heavenly scene of worship, which is filled with songs of praise and images of worship. Can you show the next? Yes, this is the image. So Genesis, Abel, Cain and Abel offering, and then last book of Bible, Revelation, is the heavenly worship towards our God. This is a picture. So can you imagine this worship in your worship? It can be yes or no. So I'm going to just exploring about worship with this image in your head. Rather than exploring Genesis and Revelation, I have another Bible, Exodus 24. Scholars say the origin of worship shown in Old Testament can be seen in the gathering of Israelites after they came out from the Egypt. So, but I found this one is very related to our worship. Genesis 24. The Lord, can you show the next one? Yeah. The Lord instructed Moses, Come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of Israel's elders. All of you must worship from a distance. Only Moses is allowed to come. And this one, we can find out God called us to worship. Not we just, oh, want to worship. No, we not doing. God called us to worship. And there is many, many people come here, isn't it? Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and then 70 elders, and then later there are other people. That means we each different people has a responsibility and roles in our worship. And even worship team has a roles here, media team has a roles here, but every individual in sitting down here has a role for worshiping our God. And next one, the Moses went down, the verse 3. Moses went down to the people and then repeated all instruction and regulation to the Lord had given to him. See, there is a teaching session, actually. It's at that time Moses listened from God and instructed and shared with it. And then what people do? People say, answered with one voice, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." That means people respond. Everyone's role in this place respond towards to word of God. See, the verse 4. Then Moses carefully wrote down. Then through this one, have a look. Next morning, Moses got up and built an altar at the foot of a mountain. He also set up 12 flasks, and they do sacrifice. So worship is very related to the blood, because God always asks in Old Testament, always asks people to blood sacrifice to demonstrate the sealing of the relationship with people. So we can see this picture, next verse, 7. See, he took the covenant again. So with this picture, we can point to our sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus. After Jesus sacrificed himself, we have a very more firm kind of sign of relationship with God because of Jesus' blood. And then he teach again. He took the book of covenant and read it aloud to the people. Again, people respond. Can you read together? We will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey. That's Old Testament, old ages, Israel people's response to God. Then, verse 8. See, this picture is after I will obey, what they do? They enjoyed, they staying in the presence of God. It may be related when we worship, when you sing a song, with some ways we feel, we know God is here. Can you show next picture? It's image of this one. People enjoy God's presence. People enjoy God's teaching, and then they staying around there. When I saw this picture, always like a wow kind of feeling, because as a worship team person, it's a very kind of a heart pumping kind of a picture, because it's the real presence of God. So I just wrap up 4 things from this one. What is worship? Worship is a place to meet God. Worship is a time to listen to the word of God. Worship requires a response from the congregation. Worship allows to people to see the cross of Christ. That's the Old Testament picture of worship. So this is really, truly heartbreaking picture. But you know, after this kind of worship, I'm not sure you know the Israelite is faithful to God or not. Yes, you know. They are against God again and again, and coming back to God again and again. It's a very repeat. They cycled. Why they do that? So we worship God. Today we also worship God. However, endless sin against God occur within us. We love ourselves more than God. We love ourselves more than our neighbors. We cannot forgive our neighbors and my husband and our our friends. We cannot tolerate our friends. We betray our family. And many of us live in this way, which is not pleasing to God. You may not agree, but I do agree because I know who I am. So I'm thinking, are you thinking, I don't know about what this means, or do you have a question like, why church people always say, telling me I'm sinner? You may think, I'm kind enough. I serve the church quite diligently. I know a lot about the Bible. I'm close to God. But some moment, part of my being, I'm still not agree to God. I'm still, myself is most important being in the world. Why? Can you see the Genesis? Genesis 2:15 to 4:17. There is a clear scene what God talked to us. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of course, tree of garden, though myself freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of God, good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God say like this, but we know the Genesis story. Satan deceive us, and then let human have the fruit, and they starting against God. We broken. We have a distance to God. We can't close to God because of our sin. But one of the very famous theologians, Sinclair Ferguson, talks about this fall of man, what he talked about. Have a look. This one is very touch me because God is, once we are against God, in our being, our thought is like this. God is limited. God is self-centered. God is selfish. So he is not trustworthy enough to give us our full heart attention. The deep sin of disbelief in God has been implanted in the deep hearts of human disobedience. So that's brokenness. That's why we keep fail. That's why we always forgot to trust God. That's why we always this theological thinking just hit me. Wow. So after this, understand this means kind of wow. That's why I've done. Because even though I've been saved by the blood of Christ, yes, human being, we totally lost how to trust God. We totally failed. So, do you think we should give up worship? Yes, no. We must worship God more. This is because worship is something that pleases God, a place where God works, and a place where the Spirit of God is with us. So how should we worship? With what kind of mindset should I come to worship? In the Gospel of John, God speaks of worshiping in spirit and truth. So what does it mean to worship spirit and truth? How can we worship in spirit and truth? John chapter, John, yeah, 23 and 24. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So here, worshiping is in the spirit, refers to the worship of those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? The first thing to be born again as a spirit is we need to see our sinfulness, receive forgiveness of our sins by believing in the Christ. Christ died for us. We need to agree how I was sinful. We need to agree
how we've been broken. So that's the step to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because God promised in the Bible, Peter said to him, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, once you starting believing Jesus, God gave us Holy Spirit as a gift. That means we born in spirit, means we believe in Jesus. And then God is a spirit, we become to communicate with God, because we are Holy Spirit in us. So when we know and when you agree to this, and then when you try to sense our spirit in us, we may listen God and we may know God's word better than without it. Yeah. Okay, second, Jesus said the time will come when you must worship with the truth. In the Bible, the truth is Jesus Christ. You know that. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So yes, that's right. Jesus is himself is the truth. We must worship through Jesus. When we enter worship, it's happened to me lots, many attacks in our heart and thoughts accuse us like, you fought with your husband this morning. How can you worship? You hate your friend. How can you worship? You don't read the Bible. How can you be here? You don't pray. You haven't shown yourself as a Christian to your neighbors. You haven't taken good care of your children. It's countless attacking thoughts in our head, our mind. When you come to worship, you know, you may experience. One morning I'm suddenly very become angry without any reason. On the way home to church, that's very attacking, because that kind of attacking thoughts make us feel guilty, make us feel endlessly sad, depressed. And then we just finally starting accept, I'm not able to worship God. So however, we must move forward to worship thanks to Jesus, in truth and spirit, because Jesus took on all our weakness and paid the price for our sins on the cross. That's right. Jesus is the one who fills everything prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus is the one, the truth. When we worship through Jesus, we can boldly approach the throne of God and believe in him more. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 said, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." It didn't say you must be perfect to worship. It said, behind this word, it says, come to me in Jesus. Come to me with the Spirit. God said like this. Yes, we can worship through salvation, through Jesus Christ. And then we can dwelling of the Holy Spirit. I prepare two pictures. Worshiping God. What about this picture? Yes, this is, I think, our heart attitude. Or we can bow down. You know, and then when in English version of the Bible, when God worshiped, when God talked to Israelites to worship in distance in Exodus, in the Korean Bible actually was said, you bow down and worship your God. So, it's worshiping to me is kind of this picture. Have you take this posture in your life, in your worship? Guess, imagine what kind of feeling you have. When you kneel down and bow down this, it's look of humility and look of shape of fear. It means denying myself. It means putting aside my pride. It means I really need God. This picture should be happen in relationship between me and us and God when you actually worship. Hebrews 4:13. For there is not one thing in creation that is hidden from his sight. For all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. Yes, with the picture, we can't hide anything in our heart in God. He knows every single thought in you. If you thought, oh, I have meditated in the morning, it's okay. I'm very cool in God. But God knows that part. Because it can be boast, but it cannot be boast because it's nothing in God. God looking for. Lastly, I share the four things we may remember through this word. We must worship. We be filled with the Holy Spirit and truth, but we must worship with a humble heart. A.W. Tozer says, worship is the fear and wonder of God with a humble and joyful heart. That is right. He says, A person filled with the Spirit is a humble person. You must be humble before you can bow down before God. You remember Pharisees and tax collectors' picture in the Bible in the Luke 18. The two people went to the temple to pray. Pharisees just saying, I have done. You must be proud of myself. The Pharisees just shouting in God. But some part of very corner of the temple, tax collector, he didn't even head up and then even dare to lift up his eyes. So he said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. That's the humble heart when you come to worship. Secondly, we need to remember God looks for broken heart. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We don't need to be broken to meet God, but we need to discover, we acknowledge we are already broken. And we must come to God. Doesn't matter how you are broken, God is already know. God was really willing to meet us. Third, we cannot worship without humility and vulnerability. Am I right? And the many praise lyrics we sing become light and shine on us. But, I sing the song called Thank You Jesus for the Blood. The first word is I was a wretch. I stop there always when I just thinking I should sing together with in the worship at the church. But I was wretch. I stopped there. I couldn't move forward. Countless thoughts happened inside me. But finally, I agree. So that's the humbleness God wants to teach me. So I can worship and I can be in Him with humbleness and brokenness. Number four, our flaws, our brokenness, our failure, and God's grace are the driving force of worship. So don't be ashamed. If you have failed, if you are broken, don't be ashamed. God is looking at, God is seeking. In the 1 Timothy 1:12-14, Paul said, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful and put me in charge. I used to be a blasphemer. I used to be a persecutor. And I used to be a violent evildoer. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly when I was unbelieving. So when we were unbelieving, we are more broken. But when we become Christians, many times we failed. So evils always attacking. How can you worship with that? But God's love is out of our thinking boundaries. God's love endless. That is God. So we can't measure God's love. So worship in Jesus means Jesus took all our brokenness, all our hurt, all our failure. He knew, even though we haven't done yet, He knew our being. We lost the ability to trust our God. So we forgot. So what I want to tell you, that when you worship in spirit and truth, the most common reactions in our hearts are repentance and gratitude and joy. If you have anything to repent of, I hope you repent and come boldly before the Lord with the power of Jesus. As we respond to God's touch, let's repent and go further in worship, and then the fruit of gratitude and joy will be born within us. I invite you to pray. You are scene of worship now. You are His place of worship. I don't know what God talked to you through my speaking, but whatever is, can be one word, it can be one sentence, it can be like one Bible verses, but respond to the God. If you need to repent, repent. If you're shouting with joy, shout. If you humble down yourself, bow down God, you do. That's the worship. No matter what people around you looking at you, give it to God. And then bring yourself in Jesus to God. Let's just sing. Lord, thank you. We worship you. We can be here because of Jesus. Jesus died for us. Jesus gave an answer. Jesus let us see how we are broken, but how we are loved. Then we can worship our God. We don't know every answer of our lives, but we know the answer of our life. Lord, be with us. Lord, touch our heart. Lord, we want to boldly worship you. We want to bow down in front of you, Lord. Take our shame. Take our guilty. Lord, help us. Lord, guide us.